Hello, this is Auntie B's Knees with your business report for the week of September 29th. Jury selection began Monday for the trial of former Tyco International executives Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Swartz. The two were accused of looting Tyco coffers to finance lavish lifestyles. At the request of the defense, $100,000 worth of computer equipment was installed inside a 62-year-old Manhattan courtroom last week. The high-tech presentation gear includes a 9-by-12-foot projection screen, a 50-inch plasma display for the audience, and a wireless network connecting laptops with a dozen flat-screen monitors positioned around the courtroom, including on the judge's bench. It is hoped that all this technology will help make otherwise dreary accounting documents more palatable to the average juror. While most of the exhibits presented by the defense will be financial documents, prosecutors also plan to make use of the fancy AV equipment, introducing stimulating audiovisual exhibits such as a court-sealed videotape of the $2 million party Kozlowski threw for his wife's 40th birthday. Court officials have summoned 1,500 potential jurors to the Manhattan Supreme Court for selection. Most of this week will be spent questioning each of these candidates about their abilities to sit through long and boring trials until the search is narrowed to 100 prospective jurors. Then lawyers and prosecutors will set to work putting the panel of 100 through more extensive interrogation. A chosen few will determine whether Kozlowski and Swartz were honest executives richly compensated for Wall Street successes, or corporate racketeers who hijacked Tyco for personal gain. Kozlowski, the 56-year-old former CEO of Tyco, and Swartz, Tyco's 43-year-old former chief financial officer, are the first top executives set to stand trial in post-Enron cases of corporate malfeasance. Kozlowski and Swartz, who are being tried together, will be prosecuted under a racketeering statute usually reserved for large-scale organized crime. Both men have pled not guilty to a 37-count indictment. They each face up to 30 years in prison if convicted of grand larceny and lesser counts. Kozlowski stands accused of conspiring with Swartz to sneak $170 million from Tyco accounts and to collect an additional $430 million from selling stock at artificially inflated prices. Company lawyers and prosecutors from Manhattan's district attorney's office have spent months trying to sort out the hundreds of millions worth of backroom deals and alleged corporate looting by more than 50 Tyco execs that took place during Kozlowski's tenure as chief executive officer and chairman of the board. Reports issued after Kozlowski was charged last September suggest that he dispensed company money at will on real estate, furniture, jewelry, artwork, a yacht, and extravagant parties. Kozlowski's so-called business expenses included the purchase of a $6,000 shower curtain, a $15,000 dog-shaped umbrella stand, a $15 million boat, and a $2 million 40th birthday party for his second wife. The party, held on the Mediterranean Isle of Sardinia, featured a live performance by Jimmy Buffett, an exploding cake, and an ice sculpture of Michelangelo's David with vodka streaming from its penis into crystal glasses. On top of their eight-figure salaries and extravagant perks such as these, Kozlowski and Swartz granted themselves $84 million in bonuses unauthorized by Tyco's board of directors. Prosecutors are expected to focus on Kozlowski's lavish spending and on the hush money paid out to Tyco execs. In the 1980s, Tyco began to loan money to key executives for paying taxes on vested restricted stock, a program designed to encourage stock ownership among Tyco leaders and administered by the conglomerate's compensation committee. The indictment alleges that Kozlowski and Swartz granted and forgave such loans to themselves and to other key Tyco executives without consulting either the committee or the board of directors. According to a report by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Kozlowski alone rang up more than $29 million in unauthorized loans to purchase land and build homes, invest in businesses, and acquire personal items. The outcome of the trial depends on the answer to a single question. Did Kozlowski and Swartz have proper authorization for the transactions that placed them among the world's most richly compensated executives? According to prosecutors, they did not. Instead, Kozlowski and Swartz are alleged to have kept Tyco's board of directors in the dark while paying off key high-level executives with so-called loans to quell their potential objections. The prosecution, led by Mark Scholl and Gerard Murphy, is expected to present testimony from present and former Tyco staff and from the firm's former chief auditor at PricewaterhouseCoopers. The defense argues that the prosecution has distorted and overestimated what is essentially a corporate governance dispute over the administration of employee loan programs. According to defense papers, quote, the case actually involves openly adopted and implemented loan and compensation programs accurately reflected on the books and records of the company, end quote. The defense is expected to argue that the millions Kozlowski and Swartz are accused of stealing were actually loans and bonuses approved by the board and disclosed to external auditors. The defense team, headed by financial fraud case experts Stephen Kaufman and Charles Stillman, is expected to stress that Tyco's board and auditors had free access to each of the questioned transactions. This, they argue, shows that Kozlowski and Swartz acted without the knowingly wrongful intent required by law for a conviction. The defense is also expected to try to persuade the jury that Kozlowski worked hard to improve Tyco and deserved hundreds of millions of dollars in extra pay. Tyco was founded in 1960 by Arthur J. Rosenberg as a laboratory performing experimental research into semiconductors and energy conversion for the U.S. government. Rosenberg incorporated this business as Tyco Laboratories in 1962, changing the company's focus to the commercial sector. In 1964, the company went public, and in 1965, it began a seemingly endless campaign of corporate acquisitions, building its range of products, services, and distribution. By 1968, Tyco had acquired 16 companies, including North American Printed Circuits and Mule Battery Products. In 1973, Joseph Ganziano became Tyco's CEO and chair, ushering in an era of even greater expansion. By 1982, when John Fort took the helm as Tyco CEO, the company had become a $140 million corporation with sales topping $500 million each year. Much of this growth had been achieved through ever larger and more ambitious acquisitions. In fact, company policy under Ganziano specified that Tyco should acquire profitable companies and operate them at continually increasing profitability for the benefit of shareholders. His successor, John Fort, once told reporters that, quote, "The reason we were put on earth is to increase earnings per share," end quote. This mantra of unceasing accumulation, exploitation, and corporate greed must certainly have been indoctrinated into Kozlowski, who joined the company in 1975. About as far from a prep school rich kid as you can get, Kozlowski was the son of working-class parents from a rundown neighborhood of Newark, New Jersey. He lived at home and took odd jobs to pay his way through university, earning an accounting degree in 1968. Perhaps ironically, Kozlowski worked as an auditor before joining Tyco in the mid